Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Alright, so it is day something something without football. I forgot, I gotta double check that. What day is it without football today? Let's see, what were we at last time? Like day 35, something like that? Let's see. We're currently 7, 14, 21. 28, 35, 42, 43, 44, day 45 without football, all right? Day 45 without a football game that has been played, okay? Now, we're on our third season of Madden, still controlling our favorite teams, winning the Super Bowls year after year because, and beating the Patriots because that's pretty much been the complete opposite. Patriots have been beating everyone else year after year. But either way, day 45, all right? And we still have stuff to talk about, believe it or not. For this first segment, let me tell you how the show's going to go. First segment, we're going to be talking Sue. Where is he ending up? Is it the Titans? Is it the Rams? Is it the Seahawks? Is it the Saints? All right, we'll be talking about that. I kind of want to see him on the Rams just because, like I said, I'm really putting a lot on the Rams winning the Super Bowl in the next 5 years or so. And I think Sue makes that happen a little bit sooner. Then we'll be talking about the Steelers in the second segment. They signed Morgan Burnett to be their safety. All right, one of their starting safeties, I believe. So we'll be talking about pretty much this, like that move and then the Steelers as a whole. Third segment, we're going to be talking about teams who really improved over free agency. Teams who truly got better. All right, we'll be talking about that. Talking about my favorite moves of free agency so far. And then for the fourth segment, we got the NFC, all right? We're going to talk about the teams who made the playoffs this past season, who could be on their way out, who could be on their way in, because it's going to be really tough. So we're pretty much going to do an entire NFC segment. Maybe we'll do it with the AFC, who knows, okay? But either way, that's how the show is going to go today, all right? It's going to be a fun one. So let's get into it. Let's talk Ndamukong Suh, all right? Remember a few years ago, signed that deal with Miami. Dude was getting all kinds of crazy money. On average, was making about $19 million a year. All right, and I mean, it's just ridiculous type money for a defensive tackle, I guess you could say. And, like, that pretty much inflated the market big time, because now you got guys like Fletcher Cox, who are making $17 million, Quan Shirts making $16 million a year. Let's see, you got Marcel Darius, who's making $16 million, Gerald McCoy is making $15 million, Jarrell Casey's making $15 million, Malik Jackson's making $14 million, and you got Linval Joseph, who's making $12 million, right? That's pretty much the drop off there from the $14 million to $12 million, from the seventh highest paid to the eighth. All right, so he kind of inflated the markets for defensive tackles, and now you're going to be seeing a whole lot more guys getting deals. Not like Sue's deal, because that was like enormous. The dude was basically making quarterback type money, and that's one thing too. Like with Sue's deal, people talk about, was he like, did he play up to his deal? I don't think anyone could ever play up to that deal unless you were a quarterback and you won a team a Super Bowl. All right, you can't knock him for the money the Miami Dolphins gave him. And, I mean, his play under that contract, he still was one of the best defensive tackles in all of football. And he was by far the best player on that team. And it wasn't close. All right. You had guys like Jarvis Landry there and all that. But it doesn't matter. He did not come close to Ndamukong Suh. All right. So Ndamukong Suh, with the contract he was given, I mean, was he this out of this world J.J. Watt type player who's sacking everyone, who's getting all kinds of tackles behind the backfield or behind the line of scrimmage and all that? No, but he was out there doing a job, and he was doing it extremely well. So, I mean, you really can't knock him, like I said, for the money Miami gave him. But either way, he's gone from there free. Now he's got to go somewhere else to make some more money. All right? You got the Titans, you got the Rams, you got the Seahawks, and you got the Saints. Let's look at these teams' current salary cap situations. All right? You got the Titans, who have the sixth most salary cap space. They got $45 million left. The Rams currently have 35 left. And then moving down, let's see where the Seahawks currently are. The Seahawks, I think, are in the bottom 15. Let's see. The Seahawks, yeah, they're 18th right now in salary cap space. Got about $17 million left. And then the Saints, 28th most salary cap space with $7 million. All right. So, I mean, Sue is going to the highest bidder, I feel. Okay. And I think that the highest bidder is going to be Tennessee, or it's going to be Los Angeles. All right. And we're going to talk about the Saints to the Seahawks, see what would happen if Sue went there and all that. So we're still going to talk about if there's a chance he goes there. But right now, I think it's going to be the Titans or Rams. All right. So let's talk about the Titans for a minute. What have they done so far in free agency? Okay. They went out, got Deion Lewis, and I think they signed Malcolm Butler too, gave him an enormous contract. All right, and one thing with Malcolm Butler, I mean, how great of a cornerback is he truly? All right, I know that he had that interception in the Super Bowl, and he played relatively well in his career for the Patriots, but I feel like this year, most people were saying that he took a step back and all that, and he gets benched in the Super Bowl. I handled that very well. That's probably one of the biggest reasons why he got paid so much. But either way, I mean, is Malcolm Butler like a top cornerback in this league, like top 10? He's not top 5 for sure. I mean, you got Lattimore, Peters, Boye, Ramsey, and Xavier Rhodes. It's 5 off the top of my head right there. All right, but getting back to it, I mean, I don't know. The Titans did need a whole bunch of secondary help, so I guess bringing in Butler is a plus, but they did pay up quite a bit. But anyway, yeah, you brought in Malcolm Butler, you brought in Deion Lewis, and now you're going for Sue. All right, Tennessee was a team last season where I thought, yeah, they made the playoffs, but did they deserve it? Not so much. Kind of like how people are talking about beforehand, before Syracuse won those games in the March Madness tournament. We're going to do a little crossover right here. But yeah, the March Madness tournament, all right, before Syracuse even played a game, people are saying they shouldn't have made it. They weren't good enough. All right, they have no business being in there. The tie-ins, I guess it's a little bit different because the wins is what get you in, and they did have enough. But nonetheless, the tie-ins, you could tell, were a team that really weren't playing well at all towards the back half of the season. And even more so for most of this, back half more, you should say. And then, like, that first game against the Chiefs, I mean, they were down, what, 21, came back, won by one point, I think it was 122-21, something like that, and ended up getting blown out by the Patriots in the division round. All right, but now the Titans have made moves to where they're still a team that should be good enough to make the playoffs this season. All right, and if you had a guy like Ndamukong Suh, that's going to be a very, very good team, I feel. All right, I feel like football, the NFL as a whole, is coming back to more so a more balanced league. All right, we're going to see a lot of competitive games, a lot of competitive teams. I don't really think, like, in the NFC, I don't want to get into it too much, but let's see. And again, it's going to be tough because, like, we're going to have, obviously, teams under 500. But in the NFC, I mean, the Redskins, the Bears, the Bucks, and the Cardinals, I guess, unless some of these other teams really just stink it up. Those are really the teams right there where, like, you could say probably are for sure going to end up under 500. And then you got those fringe teams like the Giants. The Giants, I guess. And that, like, there's going to be a lot of good teams, I guess you should say. With the Giants, what I was trying to say is maybe that's a team that finishes 8-8 on the cusp of finishing under 500 or finishing over 500. But either way, there's going to be a lot of good teams. It's not like the NFC, I do not think there will be a team with 4 wins or less. All right. I think everyone's going to be 5 wins or more, 4 wins or more. I do not see, unless there's like a big old catastrophic injury to a certain team or whatever, like, I don't see any of these teams being relatively, like, really bad whatsoever. All right, we're going to talk more about it in the fourth segment. But like I said, getting back to it, for the Titans, I mean, kind of lost my train of thought there. But either way, getting back to the Titans, you're bringing in a guy like Sue, all right? That's going to be a real good team. Brought in Matt Nagy to be the... No, not Matt Nagy. It's the Chicago Bears. I'm all off. Who'd they bring in? Mike Vrabel. I brought in Mike Vrabel. All right, I'm stuck on the NFC for some reason. But anyway, brought in Mike Vrabel. Brought in the offensive coordinator from the LA Rams. All right. And that's going to help Marcus Mariota more so than I think it hurts too there. All right. I realize this turned into a Tennessee Titans segment, but either way, we're a very diverse podcast. We pivot to a lot of things. All right. But getting back to it, they've done well so far in free agency and done well with their coaching hires. Now it's a matter of putting all together, and I think you add Sue, you're one of the best teams in the AFC South. And the AFC South, along with many others, could be one of the best divisions of football. All right? Like I said, football as a whole is a balance. Oh, yeah, that's why I was talking about the NFC. All right, talking about, like, the balance. All right, it's going to be very good. There's going to be a lot of good teams, but now more so it's a matter of who's going to be, like, it's kind of weird. Like, in the NFC, this one I'm really excited to talk about in the fourth segment. I mean, it's really so, I mean, there's going to be a lot of teams that are good. So it's going to be tough to predict who's making it into playoffs, who's making it out. But moving over to the NFC now, you got the Rams, all right? And if they add Ndamukong Suh, that's probably the favorites to win the Super Bowl, okay? One of the best things that could have happened to the Rams last season was losing to the Falcons in the wild card round of the playoffs. Rams have never been in the, haven't been in the playoffs since quite some time. I guarantee less than 75% of these players have even played in a playoff game, all right? And you go out at home, you're facing the Super Bowl runner-ups from the year before, and you really don't stand much of a chance. They beat you. All right, it wasn't like a huge blowout or anything like that, but nonetheless, you knew the Falcons were ready. That's what the Rams needed. They needed that type of game. All right, they needed that. We have, let's see, pretty much walk in, no playoff experience. Now they must know what it takes to win a game. They know what it takes to play hard against it, like to defeat a team like the Falcons team with like playoff experience. All right, they needed that experience. They needed that loss to get ready for next year. You had a guy like Sue. That's going to elevate you even more. All right, him and Aaron Donald will be literally unstoppable. You got Tlaib. You got Peters. You brought back LaMarcus Joyner. That's going to be a solid secondary. Linebackers are pretty good. All right, that's going to be the best defense in football, I feel. Probably the most dominant defense in football. You're not going to be able to run on that team. Then you got Jared Goff coming back for another season, who's playing extremely well. I don't know why I said coming back for another season as if it was a question, but either way, first season didn't play that well, second season played extremely well, now it's pretty much where's he going to go in year three. Todd Gurley, one of the best running backs in the league last year, Robert Woods had a solid year, Cooper Kupp played like he was one of the better slot receivers in the league. All right, the Rams with Sue are very good. All right, like I said, it's going to be the Titans or Rams, I think, since they have the most cap space, and if it's Sue, I mean, you have probably a better chance. I mean, you're going to make it to the playoffs with the Rams. You do have a good chance of making it to the playoffs with the Titans. So now it's just a matter of, I guess, who the top bidder is for you. All right? And if I'm the Titans, I'm throwing what I can at Sue. Because of the fact that you're going to need it. All right? You got a lot of good teams in your division already. A lot of good quarterbacks in your division. You need whatever you can. It's pretty much like the Cold War. All right, you got to build up your team because everyone else is building up theirs. The Texans, they got Deshaun Watson. You got DeAndre Hopkins. All right, Lamar Miller. And a really good defense. The Colts, looking like they're finally going to be getting Andrew Luck back this season. All right. With if you got Andrew Luck out there who's healthy, then, I mean, really you don't have to worry about nothing for them. And then you got the Jaguars, who just lost in the AFC Championship to the Super Bowl runner-ups this year in the Patriots. All right. The Titans need to pretty much build up that team as much as they can in order to compete. And as for the Rams, I guess they have brought in a couple of big personalities into Tlaib and Peters. So maybe a guy like Sue bringing in would kind of be a little bit too much, but I don't think so really, because you traded for both. All right. Sue's the only free agent you're bringing in, and Sue's not really more of a big personality. He just has like a presence that he brings with him. So there's that. As for the Saints, I mean, if Sue ended up with the Saints, they'd be Super Bowl contenders too. Probably be the best team in the NFC. All right, with Sue going to the Saints or Rams, whatever team he were to go to would make them the best team in the NFC and possibly even the entire NFL. But if you were to go to the Saints, I mean, that's going to be a very good team there too. That's what you need there. You need that veteran to pretty much mix in, be a leader with the young defenses you got coming up, all right? Because they have a lot of young players on that defense. And then with Seattle, I think that's the least, it's probably the third likeliest team that he goes to. Saints being the least likely just because of the fact that the Saints really don't have the money to go out and pay him, at least what a team like the Titans or Rams can. And Seattle, even for that matter, doesn't have all the money to pay a guy like Sue, all right? But if you bring Sue to that team, that defense is going to play well. All right, you still got a bunch of secondary holes you got to fix up. But either way, I mean, right now, the Seahawks, I'd say, are a fringe playoff team. A team pretty much would be competing to the last week of the season with Sue. That kind of elevates them some more. But Sue really makes a bigger impact on teams like the Titans, the Rams, and the Saints as far as wins and losses go. So it's going to be interesting. But if I had to make my pick, I'd say I want to say the Titans, honestly. All right, if the Titans gave him the most money, then I think he ends up there. So we'll see, but that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Steelers, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about Ndamukong Suh. Where is he going to end up? Is it going to be the Titans? Is it going to be the Rams? Is it going to be the Saints? Or is it going to be the Seahawks? I think if I had to narrow it down to two teams, it'd be the Saints. Or I mean not the Saints, the Rams or the Titans. And if I had to make my pick, I'd say it'd be the Titans. Like, I have the most money to offer. Alright, so here's my pick. If he ends up with the Rams, though, that's a Super Bowl ready team. If not, it is what it is. Titans are going to be a good team with them. Titans can be a playoff team with them, too. But either way, for this segment, we're going to be talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right? Signed Morgan Burnett to a 3-year, $14 million deal, I believe it is. Morgan Burnett's a pretty good safety, too. Not like a great safety by any means, but he's a pretty good safety. All right? Played well with Green Bay and brings in some much-needed secondary help to that Steelers team. All right? Steelers have had struggled at the, with the secondary for like the last 15 years, maybe. All right, they have not had a great secondary in quite some time. Yeah, they had players like Troy Polamalu and all that, but the corners have always been pretty bad. But you bring in a guy like Burnett, kind of sharpens it up a bit, kind of gives some help to those corners as a backup type guy right there. Not backup at the corner, but meaning pretty much like what Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas do. All right, pretty much fall, leave a little security blanket for a guy like for one of the corners there, just in case they get beat. All right. So it helps out the secondary there. Defensive line was probably one of the best of football this year. I think they had the most sacks this season, too. No one really talked about that. And one thing with the Steelers defense, too, like the biggest problem with their defense, like this, why it was talked about so much, was that Jacksonville game. All right, that Jacksonville game was pretty much what brought up the problem of, oh, the Steelers actually have a really bad defense. All right, more so I think it was a little bit of an overreaction, but nonetheless, they still don't have like a really great defense. All right, the Steelers at one point were a team like kind of like Baltimore, all right, pretty much built their team on defense, and that's not really been the case anymore when you got a guy like Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger on that team. All right, but either way, getting back to it, I mean, the Steelers bringing in Morgan Burnett, that's a start. Still got to build up to the draft as far as the defense goes, and I mean, just the Steelers as a whole, kind of curious to see what kind of year they're going to be having. All right, finished last season 13-3. Remember, it was pretty much like them and the Patriots. Who's going to make it to the Super Bowl? They're going to be playing each other in the AFC Championship for sure. Both finished, what was it, 13-3, I believe it was. Patriots might have been 14-2. I can't remember exactly. But either way, both teams are playing extremely well. And then Pittsburgh loses to Jacksonville in the divisional round. All right, that was just that was a game that if Pittsburgh doesn't make all those mistakes in the first half, they probably win that game. But nonetheless, Big Ben struggled for a bit, had some crazy touchdowns in that first half. I mean, just pretty much ones where the safeties of Jacksonville should have did a whole lot better. But either way, Big Ben kept him in it, and just when it mattered most, they couldn't pull it off. But either way, now so it's like, you got other teams who have gotten better. Jaguars are in their second year of being good, gotten better. Titans have gotten better. All right, the Texans are going to be getting Deshaun Watson back. Colts are going to be getting Andrew Luck back. You got the Patriots there. All right, and then in the AFC West, you got the Chargers and the Broncos. They could be good, and then you kind of cut them away and see how the Chiefs are going to do with Mahomes, and you got to see what John Gruden does with the Raiders in his first season. All right, and as far as the Steelers division goes, you got Baltimore, who's not really a threat, Cincinnati, who's not really a threat. I guess Cleveland is the second biggest threat to the Steelers in that division, and I'm not saying that Cleveland's going to be challenging the Steelers for the division, but nonetheless, Cleveland is a team who's gotten way better, and I guess you could put in that conversation as maybe they could possibly have a chance of making playoffs, but they do have a whole lot of new faces on that team. But just getting back to the point, I mean, it's just a matter of, are the Steelers going to be that dominant team in the AFC that pretty much compete with the Patriots year in and year out, or are they going to take a step back, and are these other younger teams going to take over? right? And with the Steelers, I mean, they're still trying to work out a deal with Le'Veon Bell. Haven't finalized one yet. And I think that they just got to figure it out. You got to figure out a way to keep him long-term on your team. You don't let a guy like that go. All right, it doesn't matter to me how much he's asking, all right, how much he thinks he's worth. You got to pay the man. All right, if he wants $14 million, $15 million, then give him that. $16, $17, I could see is a little bit high, but if I saw last time I saw he was asking for $14, $15, you got to give him that. If not, you're going to let him go. Le'Veon Bell seems like the type of guy that'll go to a team, like a rival team or anything or something like that. But you don't want him to leave your team. All right, because without Le'Veon Bell, the Steelers' offense does take a hit. People are saying that the offensive line made Le'Veon Bell better than what he was. At least I was seeing that on Twitter. And I don't know. People just must not watch the guy or just, I don't know. Makes no sense to me. All right, because Le'Veon Bell doesn't just run the ball. He's not just a one-trick pony. Le'Veon Bell could catch the ball to the backfield and make a whole lot happen. Le'Veon Bell can go out and give you 100 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving on 8 catches and 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns total. All right, he's that type of player. He's pretty much Todd Gurley, I guess, is the second closest to Le'Veon Bell as far as what they do. But Le'Veon Bell, like Todd Gurley, does not come close to Le'Veon Bell as far as overall running backs. All right, Todd Gurley has the same play style, but Le'Veon Bell is just that much better. You take a guy like that out, you focus all you want on Antonio Brown, and the Steelers' offense is going to struggle. You need guys like that, like Le'Veon Bell, on your team in order to pretty much keep the defense honest. All right. And if they don't get him re-signed, or if they just, because he's going to be there this season, all right? Whether it be long-term contract or not, he's going to be there. If he's still under the tag, then he'll be back week one. If he gets a long-term deal, then I'm sure he'll be out there training camp. And I don't know, I really don't see the Steelers giving him a long-term deal, but I think they should, all right? I don't see him giving him a long-term deal because it's never really been what the Steelers have done. All right? I think they've never really paid their players. All right, Antonio Brown, I mean, they barely paid that guy. All right, took a whole bunch of negotiations and time in order for them to pay him. Ben Roethlisberger, they've always been pretty well good as far as extending him and giving him big contracts. But Le'Veon Bell, I mean, I feel like the Steelers are looking at is the guy's a running back. They have a short shelf life. We're not going to pay him all this money. But, I mean, Le'Veon Bell already tore his ACL once. All right, tore his ACL, came back, still the best running back in the league. And I feel like you can't be scared as far as deciding on whether or not you're going to pay a guy. You can't make, oh, well, maybe he gets injured. You can't be like that. All right, because if so, you're never really going to get anything done. Because everyone in the NFL gets hurt. Everyone will get hurt at one point in their career. It is what it is. But for the Steelers, if you want to remain a team that wants to compete in the AFC and be that top dog in the league besides the Patriots, then you got to pretty much keep building the defense and you got to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term deal. Because Ben Roethlisberger, in reality, only has about 3 more years left in him at the most. All right, he's not going to be out here longer than 4. There's no doubt in my mind. All right, so I say 3 years is the max, and there's a possibility he retires anytime before that. All right, but the Steelers, like, if you don't sign Le'Veon long-term, then, and he leaves, the Steelers are going to be a bad team once Big Ben's gone, because they have no backup quarterback. All right, none whatsoever. Josh Dobbs isn't getting the job done, and how do you say? Landry Jones. I drew a blank on his name. But yeah, Landry Jones is just a brutal quarterback. All right. But the Steelers, as far as even like going into the next season, I mean, I'm kind of curious to see. Like the Steelers, I feel like they're the probably most intriguing team of the AFC. All right. Because if we look at it right now, we can like pretty much definitively tell who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. All right. Let's see. For the AFC East, I mean, the Bills probably going to be bad. Miami Dolphins going to be mediocre this year. The Jets going to be bad. Patriots going to be very good. Baltimore, going to be kind of like that Miami wrench, kind of mediocre. Miami and Baltimore, kind of those teams where a couple win, couple points go this way, a couple points go that way. They could be competing for a wild card. They could not be competing for a wild card. It should be a bad team. The Bengals, kind of in that same area. You're not really sure what they got there. Browns, I mean, they're kind of intriguing, but you're not really sure. I don't know. It's the Browns. Steelers, we're talking about them right now. The Texans should be a very good team. Like the AFC South, all 4 of those teams should be very good. In the West, you got 2 teams that should be good and then 2 teams you don't really know much about. All right. The Steelers, they're a team where it's either they stay, like it's like they can't stay the same. They're either going to get better next season or they're going to get worse. And worse is if you got guys like Jacksonville, the Texans, the Titans for that matter, or even a team like the Chargers kind of overstep them. Because it's always been 1 and 2, the Patriots and the Steelers. But now more so, it's kind of like, Are the Steelers going to be that top team this season? All right, that's what I'm kind of trying to get at. All right, are these younger teams finally going to take over? And I mean, even then, so with the Patriots, all right, the Patriots are still the top team in the AFC, but it's kind of like the Jacksonville Jaguars came close to beating them, and now you got all these other teams coming up. And this kind of comes back to my point in the first segment about the NFL being very balanced this season. All right, there's going to be a lot of competitive teams, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that the Steelers and Patriots, it's not going to be like that set dominance that they've had. All right, it's not going to be them being the best two teams in the AFC week in, week out, year in, year out. All right, there's going to be teams like the Jags, going to be teams like the Texans, going to be teams like the Titans, for that matter, who are going to start making a come up, especially the Titans if they get Ndamukong Suh. If the Titans get Ndamukong Suh, they're going to be a very good team. I mean, and I'm not going out here saying that the Steelers aren't going to win the division, but it's just a matter of the Steelers under Mike Tomlin have only been to two AFC championship games. They have won a Super Bowl, but I feel like they've kind of underachieved. And I guess it's kind of crazy to say because they do have a Super Bowl win under him, but I feel like this, like the Steelers more so, like there's not really much to go up from here. All right, it's just a matter of maybe they've peaked already and maybe they're on their way back down because they've got about three more years left before their window's closed as far as winning a Super Bowl. All right, the Super Bowl window has three more years left of being open. After that, I think it's done because once you lose Big Ben, all right, and I don't think Le'Veon Bell's going to be with the team after this year unless they pay the man, and I highly doubt they're going to pay the man. All right, but like I said, once Ben is gone, I mean, the Steelers are going to go to being a team who, unless they draft a quarterback this year or in the next few years, who they could sit behind Big Ben, which they should be doing, all right? I'm telling you right now, Josh Dobbs, Landry Jones, definitely not the guys you want to take over. You want taking over, all right? But the Steelers really need to do something as far as finding a quarterback and pretty much figuring out what they got going on with Le'Veon Bell in order to stay a great team in this conference. So we'll see about that. I just want to talk about the Steelers for a bit. Next up, we're going to be talking about teams in free agency, talked about who got extremely, who got better, okay? How about what moves I liked, what moves I didn't like. And then for the fourth segment, like I said, we'll be talking NFC football. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked about the Steelers, and we've talked about where Ndamukong Suh could possibly land. All right, I think it's going to be the Titans or Rams. If I make my pick, I'd say probably the Titans, to be honest. They got the most money to give them, and I feel like with that division in the AFC, yeah, the AFC South division, I mean, there's going to be a lot of good teams there. Pretty much every team is going to be pretty decent, so you got to pretty much build up as much as you can. But for this segment, we're going to be talking free agency, more free agency, right? Obviously, we had that big week of free agency last week, everyone going everywhere. So now we're going to talk about the moves I liked. All right. And one thing I want to talk about too is Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota and Case Keenum. All right. So there's been kind of like a consensus around pretty much going to that. Is Kirk Cousins that much better than Case Keenum? And did the Vikings make a mistake by bringing in Kirk Cousins rather than Case Keenum? All right. Because obviously, you bring in Keenum, he's cheaper, and you get to lock up the younger guys long-term when their contracts are ready to be renewed. And with Cousins, I mean, you're giving them $84 million guaranteed. So that's a whole large chunk of the cap up going to Cousins, all right? And there's a question of ability. Is Cousins that much better than Keenum? Well, let's put it this way, okay? Case Keenum's season with the Vikings this year is an outlier, okay? It's an absolute outlier. Because if you pay attention to what he's done before, he hasn't done anything. And there's the whole thing, well, he hasn't had a chance or whatever, but he's had starts before and he hasn't really done much with them. All right? But here you got this season where he goes out, throws for 22 touchdowns, I believe only 7 interceptions, over 3,500 yards, and has like a 96, 97 quarterback rating, I think it is. Takes his team to the NFC Championship game. All right? I mean, yeah, that's a good season, but Kirk Cousins has been doing the same, if not more, with less. All right? Kirk Cousins, no one's really talked, like, I don't know. Kirk Cousins is just a weird quarterback, and it's just a matter of, I just think that there's a new market being set for quarterbacks, all right? I think $20 million is the new minimum for a starting quarterback, a la the Sam Bradfords, Case Keenums, okay? That's what you're going to have to pay at the minimum to get a starting quarterback. And now to get a decent mid-type quarterback, I guess like a Kirk Cousins, where, I don't know, is Kirk Cousins a top 10 quarterback in this league? All right, could we name 10 quarterbacks better than Kirk Cousins right now? I think that's what we're going to try and do. So we need to get to the bottom of this, all right? I'm going to go division by division and just name off. It's not going to be in any order, all right? So Wentz, I'll take over Cousins, Brady, Roethlisberger, okay, Watson, Rivers, let's see, Wilson, Stafford, Rodgers, Ryan, Breeze, that's 10 already, all right? And then would I take Cam Newton over Kirk Cousins? I don't know. It's tough. Cam Newton's a bit of a weird quarterback. Cam Newton is a guy who's not very accurate, but can go out and win you games. He's a gamer. He's a winner. All right. But either way, I mean, like I said, I mean, yeah, there's 10 quarterbacks right there. I named ahead of Kirk Cousins, and I might have been a little like Deshaun Watson, I'd say, is better. All right. I don't even think I named Andrew Luck right there. All right. And even then, so I mean, you just got to see if Cousins is better than Newton. Is he better than Keenum? I'm not sure. All right. Okay, so with Keenum and Cousins, they did have pretty much the same year this past season, but Cousins has been doing it a whole lot longer than Keenum. I don't think we'll be able to tell really who the better quarterback is. Like, you can't, like, right now it'd have to be Cousins as who's the better quarterback. But if Keenum were to go out and play well with the Broncos, then I guess you could say, yeah, the Vikings might have made a mistake, but you can't blame them for doing that because you got Keenum who comes to the Vikings for the first time under offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, who's now the head coach of the Giants. And people were saying that maybe Keenum's great year was just more due so to the fact that he had a great offensive coordinator in Shurmur and put him in the best position to win. All right. And even that's a logical argument there. Okay. Because of the fact that, like I said, it's just this year that Keenum had is a huge outlier. But going back to it, like the Vikings signing Cousins, I do like the signing there. All right. I think that Cousins, for some reason, it's kind of weird. Like, Keenum, this past season with the Vikings, I would never say Keenum playing as well as he did made them Super Bowl contenders. But I kind of want to say with Cousins going to the Vikings, I think that makes them Super Bowl contenders. All right? Cousins' value is very, very weird. All right? And again, it goes back to what I said last week. Like, how did we get to this point where Kirk Cousins is probably the most intriguing quarterback in all of the NFL? All right? Remember, it all started out with the 49ers, how they were going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL and all that, before he started getting franchised a whole bunch of times. Like, that happened, that came out, and then that just stuck with Kirk Cousins. That report of the 49ers looking to make Kirk Cousins the highest paid quarterback in the history of the NFL, at least as far as guaranteed money and all that, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to Kirk, because that's what set this all off. If that doesn't come out, and let's say the 49ers don't want to make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, Cousins doesn't get nearly as much as what he got this free agency period. All right, the dude got $84 million guaranteed. In what world is he better than Matt Stafford? Okay, he's not. But either way, he's lucked out. Dude's made a lot of money. But as far as it all goes, I mean, Cousins is a guy you know can do the job. All right, if the Vikings were to sign Keenum, it's pretty much you're taking a risk. You're taking the risk of, we got to hope that this guy is the same quarterback that he was last season, because if not, we're in big trouble, all right? The Vikings went with the sure thing. Cousins is definitely the sure thing. We won't know if Keenum is the sure thing until after this season, because then we're going to see what kind of quarterback he is with a different team around him. Because, I mean, the Broncos do have pretty solid weapons around him, but we're pretty much going to see if Keenum could be the same quarterback he was, or it's more so the team made him more than he made the team, all right? Keenum, I guess you could say, wasn't one of those quarterbacks that got carried like a Blake Bortles or even a Nick Foles up until the Super Bowl. and the NFC Championship game. Because remember, from week 15 to the NFC Championship game, Nick Foles didn't look that great. All right? Was pretty good in the divisional round, but wasn't great by any means. All right? And the regular season do look brutal. But anyways, like getting back to it, I mean, as far as Cousins go, like I said, I think he's more so the sure thing, and I think he does make this team a Super Bowl contender. They got a top five defense, and I'm real excited to see when Dalvin Cook gets back if he's going to be able to return to the form that he was for those first four games of his rookie season. All right, because he was playing extremely well, then he blows out his knee, and now pretty much you're hoping that he comes back and is that same explosive running back, which is going to be tough. But, I mean, it's, I guess it's like kind of like a Le'Veon Bell thing. You'd rather it happen before than have it happen later on in his career. Well, Le'Veon Bell happened early on, so I guess maybe he was able to rehab it a little bit harder and all that, pretty much stayed young and all that stuff. Well, not stayed young, but, you know, was young at the time it happened, so pretty much had the rest of his career still ahead of him, and that's pretty much what you're hoping with Dalvin Cook. And you got Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, who were borderline top 10 receivers. I think this season, the way Thielen played, he was a top 10 receiver. All right, got to fix up the offensive line a little bit more, but you still got that solid coaching staff there too. All right, and like I said, with Cousins going there, I think that they're Super Bowl contenders. I think they're a top four team in the NFC right now. I'd say it's more so the Eagles at number one, then the Rams, Saints, and Vikings. All right. And you could switch up whether you want. Like, it's not in any order either. Like, the Vikings or the Eagles are the best team in the NFC as of right now. But from that 2-4 spot with the Rams, Saints, and Vikings, you can all make a difference as to who belongs where and all that. But either way, getting back to it. All right. That's one free agency signing I liked. And I don't know if I liked the Case Keenum to the Broncos free agency signing. Because of the fact that, I mean, Denver, they signed him to a 2-year deal, so I guess that's solid there. But Denver really, like, this is the last couple of years of their playoff window. The last 2 years, the year they won in this, the year after they won the Super Bowl, and the year after that, which would be this past season, those were Super Bowl contending years, and they wasted those because they refused to go out and get a decent quarterback. Or it's just because of the fact that John Elway doesn't know how to pick quarterbacks, and I think it's probably more so that than anything else. All right, John Elway has wasted those last 2 years, and any GM would have been under fire. And I know Elway, I don't think, is the GM. He's the VP of football operations or whatever. He's the president of football operations. Anyway, getting back to it, any person like that would have their job under fire, but it's John Elway, so they're not. It's not going to happen. So then with John Elway here, I mean, it's pretty much you got to wait and see what Keenum does, because if not, it's just going to be another wasted year. That's all it'll be. And I think Denver, you still got to go out and take a quarterback, right? And I understand Denver's a little bit scared, but maybe have someone else other than John Elway go out and scout the quarterback and pick him. Maybe have someone who actually knows what they're doing as far as scouting. All right, John Elway was a great quarterback in the NFL when he played, but so much picking them and drafting them for his team hasn't done too well. So I'm not really sure if I like that Case Keenum signing just because of the fact that you're not sure if it's going to work out. And, I mean, if it does, then perfect. If not, then John Elway pretty much messed up again. All right, there's that. I really like the Allen Robinson signing. That's probably the biggest move of any team this offseason. All right, if you remember, I've been beating home the whole, the Bears are going to be a good team next season, going to be a 7-9 win team, all right, in 2018. I was saying that in the middle of last season, all right, and I do have the episodes to go out and prove it. Just going to have to go back and listen to them to see which one. But either way, all right, Mitch Trubisky, I think, is going to be a very good quarterback. Now just needed that top receiver on his team. All right, and a guy like Allen Robinson, that's exactly what he needed, all right? And the Bears, they still need a couple more receivers. I think they brought in Taylor Gabriel to come help out, all right? Tight end, who do they got at tight end right now? They did have Zach Miller, but, I mean, you got to figure out what's going on pretty much. I don't even know if he's ever going to be able to come back or if he's already retired. I can't remember exactly. All right, you got Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard. It's going to be a very dynamic offense there, all right? And as far as the defense goes for the Bears, I mean, I like it there. I like it too. All right, they're young. They're kind of like, they remind me of, what defense do they remind me of? I don't know. Kind of like the Saints, but not as good. But like the Saints have a very young defense up and coming. And that's kind of what the Bears got. They got a young defense that still needs to develop a bit. They do create a lot of turnovers. And one thing I like about the Bears defense is they don't really let you get too far after you get the ball. All right, they're very quick to the ball. And that's one thing you need in a defense there. Pretty much that effort. But as far as the Allen Robinson signing goes, I mean, that's huge right there. That's going to make Mitch Trubisky a whole lot better than what he was this past season. All right. And John Fox, I feel, kind of held back Trubisky. All right. Because remember, when Trubisky first started his first few games, I mean, John Fox was barely letting him throw the ball. Jordan Howard was getting the ball like 30 to 40 times, I felt. And Trubisky wasn't really given an opportunity to really shine. And once he was allowed to throw the ball a whole lot more, he was playing a whole lot better. All right, so I think now this year with Matt Nagy, whatever his name is, Mark Helfrich being the offensive coordinator, I think they're going to open up the offense a whole lot more for Trubisky and allow him to do more, and he's going to look a whole lot better than what he did. All right, so I really like what the Bears are doing. Let's see, any other free agent signings I like? I like the Wilson and Amendola signings to Miami. Anyone else make any big moves? Let's see, quarterbacks. I like Sam Bradford going to the Cardinals. I think that's a safe move there. All right, just because of the fact that the Cardinals don't need a guy to come out and dominate. All right, they finished 8-8 with Carson Palmer only playing half the season, broke his arm. And you had Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton come in. You're thinking, oh, you're going to lose every game after that. And no, they finished 8-8, played well. So I think with a guy like Sam Bradford, it's about an 8-8 team, maybe a little bit better of a team. All right, Sam Bradford is better than Stanton and Gabbert. There's no doubt. So, I mean, I really like what they got going on there. You got Larry Fitzgerald where he's going to help out Bradford a whole lot more. It's just a matter of, with Bradford, it's just a matter of can the guy stay healthy. If he can stay healthy, great. If not, then the Cardinals might be in a bit of trouble because it's not like you need Bradford to go out and throw for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. You got David Johnson who you could run the offense through. And you got Larry Fitzgerald who hasn't taken a step back yet in his career. So, I mean, you're safe at wide receiver. Defense is young. Defense got the perfect mix of veterans and young players. So I think they're going to be pretty good. Lost Tyrann Mathieu. That's another big free agency signing I like. All right, you can't add enough talent to the defense. And with the Texans, I mean, you got J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Merciless coming back. All right. And you add Tyrann Mathieu to the secondary where you needed help. Tyrann Mathieu is one of the best nickel corners in the league and one of the best safeties when he's healthy. All right, as a nickel corner, pretty much corner and slot, did not give up. I don't think he gave up a touchdown this season as a corner at all. All right, so you bring in a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, and I'm kind of curious why the Cardinals didn't feel the need to, or why they wanted to give him a pay cut. That's the reason why they lost him, because they told him, take a pay cut, we're going to cut you. And I guess maybe it has to do more so with the Bradford deal or anything or something like that. But either way, I mean, Mathieu going to the Texans, that's going to make them even better. The AFC South is going to be very good this season. So I'm really intrigued as to what pretty much who finishes in first. I think they might be the division where you have three teams coming out into the playoffs. But anyways, that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be talking NFC football, talking about all the good teams out there, talking about teams that have made good moves in free agency, talking about the teams that are going to be taking a step up and teams who could be taking a step back. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked Ndamukong Suh. Where's he going to be ending up? Let's see, what else have we talked? We talked Pittsburgh Steelers, and we talked about a couple of free agency signings from last week in the third segment. All right, for this fourth segment, we're going to be talking NFC. All right, going to talk about a bunch of teams there. All right, more so pretty much, and one thing I want to get out to, Richard Sherman, I want to talk about right before. Richard Sherman's having his introductory press conference with the 49ers. And I'm not a 49ers fan or anything like that. I'm the farthest thing from it, let me tell you. But Richard Sherman wearing a 49ers hat, just being a 49er, is really weird. All right? Just that rivalry that the Seahawks had, like, it's pretty much, like, I feel like that's done. Obviously there's a rivalry still there. But, like, the rivalry peaked already. Like, it's not going to get back to that point until, I don't know, both teams are really good again. All right? And it's more so the Seahawks are taking a step back, 49ers are taking a step forward, but just like just that heat of the rivalry that was there, I feel, because there's a lot of players from Seattle gone, and I feel like there's a lot of players from San Francisco gone that really, like Crabtree's, Sherman's, and all that. Like Sherman, yeah, he just switched teams. Crabtree ended up going to the Raiders, now he's on the Ravens. But like just those core players from that rivalry, like they've all gone to other places, and now more so it's just, I don't know, it's kind of different. Like Cam Chancellor hitting Vernon Davis, all right, Crabtree and Sherman getting into it. I mean, just as a whole, like Kaepernick going up against the Seahawks. I mean, like I said, just all those players are gone from that rivalry. So that was probably one of the best rivalries in football for that little tiny period in time. I mean, that was very entertaining football to watch. Whenever the Seahawks and 49ers played against each other, you had to tune in, whether you were a fan of them or not. All right. But either way, like I said, just weird to see that Richard Sherman is now a San Francisco 49er. And let's talk about San Francisco for a bit. All right. Locked up Jimmy G, locked up Marquise Goodwin. And got a bunch of other good players there. Still need a number one receiver. All right? Thought Allen Robinson maybe couldn't be that guy, but he ended up going to the Bears. But, yeah, San Francisco really needs to find a number one receiver for Jimmy Garoppolo. They need to find a running back. All right? I mean, you lost Carlos Hyde to the Browns, and I'm not even sure that's a loss. I'm not even sure if the 49ers wanted him back. But nonetheless, I mean, he's with the Browns. You got Matt Breida, who's still the running back there. And you really don't have a number one yet unless the 49ers are banking on the fact that, you know what, Perry Garcon's going to come back, be healthy, and he could be our number one guy. And that's possible. I mean, with the way that Jimmy G was playing, he is going to make other players around him better. Maybe the 49ers are trying to take the Patriots approach pretty much. You got your Tom Brady there. Now you just need to put in guys who could do a job. Don't need to be overly great or anything like that. Just guys who know how to run their routes and all that, and Jimmy G will get the ball to him. So maybe that's what they're trying to run. I'm not too against that either. All right, if Jimmy G is as good as we've seen, or at least we think, then, I mean, it's all going to work out there. But the whole point of this segment is we got teams like the playoff teams we had last season. The Eagles, the Vikings, all right, the Falcons, Panthers, Saints, and the Rams. Those are the six teams that made playoffs. All right, Dallas was close. Green Bay didn't have Aaron Rodgers. Detroit needed a new head coach. The Seahawks barely missed out, and the San Francisco 49ers got hot too late. All right, so now you got, let's see, who are the new teams that are going to be getting better? I think the Lions are going to be getting better. All right, obviously the Packers are going to be better. The Giants are going to be better. The Cowboys are going to be better. The 49ers are going to be better. All right, that's five teams already that are going to be better than what they were. Okay, and I think the Packers make the playoffs this year. I don't think they miss out. I think the Cowboys have a very good chance of making the playoffs. I think the Eagles are going to be back in. All right, so pretty much in the NFC South where you had three teams make playoffs, that's not going to be the case this year. There's going to be two teams from that division that don't make playoffs, I feel. All right, again, it's way too early to be talking about playoffs. We still got the draft coming up in April and all that, but it's the offseason. We're going to talk about whatever we got to talk about. All right, but just getting back to the whole point, like the NFC, like that's been something I've kind of been mentioning as the show's gone on. All right, the NFC is going to be very good this season. All right, if I had to make my picks for who makes playoffs this season, I go Green Bay. Like, this is tough. I go Green Bay. I'm going to go division winners first. It goes Green Bay, Philly, New Orleans, LA. There's only two spots left. You got San Francisco's going to be fighting for a spot. The Falcons and Panthers who are fighting for a spot. Detroit, Minnesota, that's five teams. Dallas, New York, seven teams. Tampa Bay could be taking a step up. All right, that's eight teams. And then you got Seattle. I don't know if I already named them, but either way, that could be nine or eight teams either way. All right, it's a whole bunch of teams competing for those last two spots. All right? And, I mean, I'm very curious to see. There's going to be a team that has a great season, like San Francisco could take a huge step up this season. All right, play extremely well. But it all could be for nothing and they might not make the playoffs. I think Dallas, that's a team who went 13-3 last season, struggled because Zeke Elliott was out. He came back and Dallas was almost made a run into the playoffs, almost snuck their way in. Same with Green Bay. I think the Detroit Lions, that's going to be a team who's very good this season. All right, I think they just need a structure. I think Matt Patricia could bring that Patriots way stuff over to Detroit. All right, Detroit already has a good team. It's just a matter of now they just need the front office and coaching staff to get it together. And I think that could be the case this season. And as far as the NFC South goes, I mean, you got a bunch of good teams there. Like, there's going to be a lot of good games this season, let me tell you. All right? I'm very excited to watch the NFC. The AFC, not so much. I mean, the AFC, you got the Patriots. I'll do the same thing right here. You got the Patriots, the Steelers. Let's go the Jaguars and the Chargers. Those are my four division winners. After that, it's the two other teams in the South, the Broncos, and everyone else is kind of like a hit and miss. We'll see what kind of season they have. All right. But in the NFC, you know which teams are going to be very good. And the majority of them, like I said, three teams from the NFC East, three teams for sure from the NFC North, three teams from the South, three teams from the West. All right. That's 12 teams that are going to be good this season, I think, that have a chance at fighting for the playoff spots. But now, it's pretty much like I said, those last two spots are going to be like gold. You're going to have to wait and see who's getting what and how. All right, Dallas, I think they're going to be taking a big step up. I think Dez Bryant is going to not go back to being the old Dez Bryant, but he's going to have a solid season. All right, last couple of years since Romo left, I mean, he's really, because Romo was the quarterback where I'm going to throw it up to Dez and hope he catches it. Dak Prescott isn't a guy who takes risks, all right? He's an Alex Smith type quarterback. And I think that's what Dak Prescott is going to be. He's going to be an Alex Smith. And that's not a bad thing by any means, okay? Alex Smith, I'm higher on him than many others are. I think Alex Smith is actually a very good quarterback in the league. He's not top 10. He's more so like top 15, but he's like in that 13, 12, 11 range. Okay, Dak Prescott, like I said, he doesn't have a cannon of an arm. Doesn't throw the ball deep too much. Doesn't take too many risks. He's a guy who plays it safe. All right, where you need a guy like Ezekiel Elliott out there to go out and help him win games. All right, so I think Dallas, they're going to be taking a step up. And I'm curious to see what the Giants are going to be doing this season too in the draft specifically. I mean, I think that you got to take a quarterback, and I think they're going to make a mistake by not taking one. But if you get a guy like Saquon Barkley, I guess that helps. But like I said, the Giants need a quarterback because Eli's got about 2-3 more years left, I think, before he's done. And the Giants, they're like, I think the Giants are going to be pretty good this season. The NFC East is going to be a very good division along with, like, each division has three very good teams, I think. Well, it has the potential of having three very good teams. Man, it's gonna be this football. I'm very excited for this football season. I think I'm more excited for this season than I have for any other season. But getting back to, like I said, the Giants, I think they're going to take a big step up this year. So I think if they're going to be good for the next few years, because I think Eli Manning is going to play well, you're not going to be picking as high as you are and not going to be able to get a quarterback. All right? The Giants have the opportunity to take one of the top two quarterbacks that they want, that they think are the best. All right? And, I mean, I feel like you got to take that shot unless maybe, I don't know. If it was me, I think I'm still taking a quarterback over Saquon Barkley if I'm the Giants. Just because of the fact that you got to plan for the future. And I think they're making a mistake by not. All right, and then you got the Chicago Bears, so I think you're going to be a pretty good team. 7-9 wins this season, I'm calling right now. And I'm very, like, the team I'm most intrigued about is the San Francisco 49ers. Because we're finally going to see what Jimmy G can do for a full season. All right, played extremely well in the 6 games he was out there. All right, but now, so it's going to be, what can you do for a 16-game season? How good are you truly now that there's film out on you? Curious to see what the Seahawks are going to be doing. I mean, they still got to fix up the defense. If they get Ndamukong Suh, it's going to be a big piece added. I mean, it's going to be like, there's a bunch of different storylines to look out for. And we might just have to spread it out as the offseason moves on. I mean, the Packers, how good are they going to be with Aaron Rodgers back? Are they going to be winning the division? Because it's like Aaron Rodgers was gone for a year, but Minnesota got better, Detroit got better, Chicago got stronger. All right, we got better too. Now it's not the clear-cut, easy path to the division winner to a division championship for the Packers. So we'll see. But either way, like I said, the NFC going to be very good this season. Like the 6 teams that made playoffs this season, I mean, it's going to be very difficult to get back in this upcoming season. So that's all I got to say about that. Today we talked about the Steelers, all right, kind of on the verge of either getting pretty much, are they going to be on that top team still? Or the other teams, the younger teams, going to pass them up? The Jaguars, the Texans, the Titans, teams like that. Are they going to be passed up as far as overall great teams in the AFC? Talked about the Rams, Sue. Talked about Sue, where he's going to end up. I think it's going to be the Rams or Titans. If I had to make my pick, I'd say Titans. I don't see the Saints or Seahawks just because of the fact that they don't have really the money to compete with the Rams or Titans. We talked about free agency signings I liked. Talked about Kirk Cousins and Case Keenum. I think the Vikings made the right move by getting Cousins and getting rid of Keenum. But I mean, if Keenum plays well, then I might just be changing my mind. So we'll see about that. And then for this segment, we talked a lot about the NFC. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Just like always, we'll be back on Thursday. So stay tuned till then, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.